Okay, Perek Dalet Pasuk Lamed. What? You want to go back?
I don't know.
Yes, I think we're up to that. All right, go back to Pasuk Chav Ches. We'll just run through very quickly. Okay, we'll go back to Pasuk Chav Ches. Ode. Okay, let's go back to Pasuk Chav Ches. Ode Milsa B'Poem. We did this. I'm going to run through because we're in the middle of the Inyan. While the king was bragging about his success, he was surveying the Mount Bavel. He was walking around his palace, and he saw what a beautiful country he had built. His accomplishments. While he was, all these words were in his mouth, Kol Min Shemayin Nefal, a voice came out of heaven, and the voice said, Loch Omrin Nebuchadnezzar Malka, to you, Omrin, it is said, Nebuchadnezzar Malka, the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, Malchusa, your Malchus Ados Minach. It has been taken away from you. You no longer you. The Melech Malchus has passed. That's it. You've lost the Malchus. The Malchus will be transferred now to a new nation, to a new king, and we know that was to his son Evel Merodach took over. Pasuk of Tes. Umin Anashalach Tardin. There was a decree. A Baskel came out of heaven that said to him, "You will be banished from mankind, and instead you will become an animal. You will live with the animals." V'im Chevas Bara Midorach. Midorach means to dwell. Chevas Bara means the animals of the wild. Bara means the fields. Chevas are the animals. Ispa, grass, kisoyrin loch yitamun, you will taste grass just like toyrin, oxen, just like oxen eat ispa, grass. Likewise, loch to you yitamun, that is what will come, you will taste, that will come into your mouth, you will eat grass the same way oxen eat grass. Vishiva idonin yachlufun aloch, and this will occur for 7 time periods, which we discussed at a great length. Either it means 7 years, 7 seasons, 7 stages. You will be in this state of living like an animal for a 7 period time. Ad, what's the purpose? The purpose of this is to humble you, Nebuchadnezzar. You should come to the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam Ad, until the Sinda, until it will be known, Di Shalit Iloh B'Malchus Enashah, until it become known to you that Iloh means Hashem, the Most High, the Most Exalted Hashem is the ruler over mankind, Uleman Di Yitzbei, and to the one to whom Hashem wants Yitnina, Hashem grants authority. Hashem makes world leaders. It's in Hashem's power to decide who will be the next world leader, who will be the next king. And although you think you are the king of this world, Hashem is going to make it known to you that you're nothing but other than a tool in His hand. You're a puppet, and Hashem will decide what will be. Pasuk Lamed. Bei Shata Milsos. At that moment, after the Baskol came out, at that exact moment, Bei Shata Milsos. The matter Sofas. Sofas means it came upon him. This is an unusual word. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says HaGezerah Chol Sa'alav overcame him. This matter overtook. Chol means, and really it means to overtake. He couldn't escape. No matter how hard he tried to avoid the decree that was predicted by Daniel, based upon the interpretation of the dream, and as far and when the Baskel came out of heaven, whatever he did to prevent it from coming upon him did not help. We do know that it did help for 1 year. The 1 year, the advice of Daniel was that he should give tzedakah by feeding the poor for 1 year. That did stall the decree. And who knows? It could very well be that being that it was stalled for 1 year, during that 1 year, he accomplished things that possibly mitigated the severity of the decree. Maybe it would have been worse had he not, even though he was delayed for a year. When there's a delay, it's not just that there's a delay. The delay also acts as some type of rehabilitation for the person, so that when it will come upon the person, it will not be as severe as it would have been had it come upon him immediately. But nevertheless, the year was over. He stopped giving tzedakah. So fast, it overcame al Nebuchadnezzar, and exactly what was predicted came about. Umin anoshot tirid, he was driven away from mankind. The isba kisarin yechol, he ate grass like the animals, like the oxen, umital shemayo gishmei yitzdabo, and from the dew of heaven, gishmei means his body. Gishmei is like lashon of the guf, the gashmiyos, the gishmei, his body, yitzdabo, was moistened. He was wet. He wet himself in the dew of heaven because he lived like an animal out in the field. Ad, to the point that this is something which is new. This few expressions here was not predicted by Daniel, was not mentioned in the Baskol. Ad, until the point, Sare kinishrin riva, until his hair grew long like eagles. Now, not a really weird exactly. Eagles have long hair. They have long wings. They have long wings. So what is the symbolic significance? Rashi says, Saroysav kikanfei nishadim galu al kol gufo. His hair grew like the wings of eagles upon his entire body. I'm sure there's symbolic significance in this, but I did not come across anything in my limited preparation of what is the symbolic significance of why eagle wings. His hair turned into eagle wings. V'tifrei he, and his nails, katsi parin, his nails grew like birds, like the claws of birds. Birds typically have long nails, which they use to attack. A doyres, birds that are not kosher, are birds that prey upon others. And they have typically long nails. V'tifrei he, katsi parin, and his nails extended like the nails of birds. There were a lot of analogies made when Saddam Hussein was captured. Saddam Hussein was obsessed his entire life with Nebuchadnezzar. He called, someone mentioned, they called one of his legions in the army, in the military, was called Nebuchadnezzar. He was obsessed. He knew everything about Nebuchadnezzar. And it's very strange that when he was fleeing for his life, he went into the ground like an animal. What do they call it? A rat hole? Like an animal who lived, and then his hair grew, and everyone remembers those images of what he looked like when he came out of the hole. He looked like, you know, exactly like what the pasuk here says. There are a lot of similarities. And Iraq is ancient Babel. That's what Iraq is. Aram Naharaim. So what is the significance? I do not know, but obviously there's something very deep going on in world history, in history repeating itself. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. So here we have Nebuchadnezzar. He has been humbled. He's living like an animal. He's in the forest. His hair has grown long like eagles. His nails have extended like birds. Pasuk Lamed Aleph Uliktzas Yomaya. And then the Nebuchadnezzar says, at the end of these days, Ano Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar, he's this entire thing, this entire paragraph. I didn't really bring out that point. It's really a letter. He sent out a letter telling the world what happened to him. And the text is really the text of the letter. And here he's now telling what happened at this point in time. At the end of the days, meaning at the end of the seven periods, the 7 years were over. Anoi, Nebuchadnezzar, Ayinai Lishmaya Nitles. Nitles means was elevated. Ayinai means my eyes. Lishmaya to heaven. My eyes were lifted up to heaven. As my mind, my intellect returned to me, I looked up to heaven. Uman di'i, and my knowledge, das, my intellect, alai yisuf, was settled. My intellect was settled in my mind. I once again regained my mental capacities. Ule ilo'o borches, and I blessed Hashem. I came to realize, indeed, there is a Creator. There is only one Melech, Melech Malachim, Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to this God I blessed, Ulechai Alma, and to the life of the world. Another reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shabches, I praised, VeHadres, and Hadres is another expression Shabches, I praise. The Hadres, and return, a lotion of returning. The Hadres, wait, I'm not sure what that word means. Give me 1 second. L'chai alma Shabches, the Hadres. Hadar, to glorify. Two expressions of praise. I gave praise and I glorified HaKadosh Baruch Hu for returning my mind, returning me to my to giving me back my mental abilities. Di Shaltanesh, that, what did I praise? What exactly about Hashem did I give Shevach Vehoida? Di Shaltanei, his authority is Shaltan Olam, is an everlasting authority. Umalchusei im Dor Vador, and his kingdom is from one generation to the next, is forever.
Okay,
yes, basically this is Tshuva. Okay, we're going to discuss a few different things. We're going to discuss, well, let's do one thing at a time. Now, the first thing I want to discuss over here is the fact that it says in the beginning of the pasuk that he lifted up his eyes to heaven. We'll read the pasuk again, beginning of Lamed Aleph. It's a very long pasuk. V'litzasiyam, at the end of the 7-year period, I know Nebuchadnezzar, Aynai, my eyes, Lishmaya nitles. I lifted up my eyes to heaven. The word nitles is the word is the targum of the word nasasi, to lift up. I raise my eyes to heaven, and umindi'i ala Yisuf, and I recognize that my intellect had returned to me. Yisuf is the targum for the word chozra, to return. And umindi'i, we had many times, it means my knowledge. Now, what is going on over here? So the Mefarshim explain that there's a fundamental difference between a human being and an animal. Animal walks on all fours. Hands, human beings and animals are similar. We both have four. There are two arms and two legs. Even an animal, the front two arms, the front two legs of an animal in halacha are called the yodayim. And the back are called the raglayim. Okay, some animals are front wheel drive and some are back wheel drive, rear wheel drive. The different types. I think most animals, it's one or the other. There's no four wheel drive animals. Some animals, their koyach comes from the back. I forgot, there's a medrash, and the medrash compares. I don't remember which animals are referring to, but most animals, either the front is where their koyach is, and the back just schleps along, or it's the back and the front just schleps along. But in any event, there's the front are the hands, and the back are the legs. Now, being that an animal crawls on all four, where is its head? Its head is in the ground. Animals' heads are generally looking down. Even like a dog. Go walk on the street, look at the dogs. People are walking. The dogs, their heads are generally down on the ground, looking for food. Their natural position is to look down. Man, a human being, walks vertical. He looks up. His natural focus is not the ground. His natural focus is the heavens. And that is the difference between man and animal. Man is kulagashmi. Man does not come to recognize that there is a creator. A human being comes to look to Shamayim, to heaven. Now, even though Shamayim is gashmi, and it's all, but from a human being's perspective, when you look to Shamayim, it represents a search for spirituality, for ruchnius. Man is looking to Shemayim, animals look to the ground. Nebuchadnezzar here was reduced to an animal. When he was an animal, during that 7-year period, he was looking at the ground. He was unable to lift himself up to a degree of ruchnis, of spirituality. Here, now when his intellect came upon him, it says, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Ano, it means that he stopped crawling on all four. For 7 years, he behaved like an animal. He would crawl on the ground with his hands and legs, looking at the ground. Now his intellect returned. He began to stand on two legs. And by standing on two legs, he began to look to heaven. And when he looked to heaven, that made an impression upon him that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, there's a creator. And he began to do tshuva. But there are many halachas about looking to Shemayim, like for example a shul. A shul l'chatchila has to have windows. Because when people daven, they have to get a sense that their prayers are going to heaven. even though it doesn't make a difference. Hashem hears you. Hashem can hear you in the subway, the same way Hashem can hear you by the Kaisel. I once heard someone give a drasha. People didn't have to go to the Kaisel to daven. It's true. There's a Hashuas Hashchin by the Kaisel. The Shchin Lo Yizazda Mehar Mehar Meravi. But Hashem hears you when you're on the Q train. Hashem hears you Tfilas also, just the same. Not saying it's a good idea to say Tilim on the Q train. And that's a separate issue. But it doesn't make a difference if you're surrounded on one side by African American, the other side by a Puerto Rican, and you're sitting there squashed on the Q train and you're davening with Kavana. It's Hashem hears you like as if you're by the Kaisel. Okay, again, Kaisel is a different degree, but so when a person, a shul has to have windows, the Gemara says that they should not be goyzer tainis on a cloudy day. I don't know how they can predict the weather, but because when it's cloudy, people don't get a sense that their tefillos are ascending to heaven. There's something to it. There's something to looking to the sky. We don't realize the impact it makes upon us. And that is hinted to here in this pasuk. For 7 years, Daniel walked on all four legs. He looked at the ground, did not have the ability to lift up himself to a degree of spirituality. And now, after 7 years, his intellect returned. He stood on his legs. And by standing on his legs, he had the ability to look to Shemayim. And that made an impression, and that started a process of tshuva, of spirituality. Okay, the next point is, he blessed Hashem, like Mr. Blatter said, he did tshuva. Ubilah barches ulechai alma shabches v'hadras, some very eloquent expression. We're going to discuss some of the expression a little bit later in one of the midrashim. And to the life of the world he gave shevach v'hadres and hodar. And his malchus di sholtone sholton olam malchus malchusei im dar v'dar. Now, here, the point I want to make here is, I think it says this, the Malbim talks about this, but if we go back a few psukim, let me find the pasuk I'm referring to, where this expression is reversed. Okay, I'm trying to find it. Dar v'dar. No, I can't find it. Okay, I'm not gonna spend time. Okay, a few psukim back, the expression was reversed. Okay, I can't find it, so we'll leave it now. But the point I want to make is that if you go a few psukim back, there are two expressions. There are two expressions here. Let me just see, maybe it says it in the Mitzudas David, maybe I'm just forgetting about it. Okay, the point I want to make is in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the end, when Nebuchadnezzar praises Hashem, he says two different expressions. Hashem is called the Sholit, the Shalit, Shin Lamites, and Hashem is the Melech. So L'chai Alma Shabches V'Hadres Di Shol Tonei Sholtan Olam. His shlita over the world is forever. And then there is the expression of malchus, umalchusei im dor vador. Now, if you go back a few psukim, I can't find it at this moment in time, it will take me too long to find it. There it's reversed. There it says in the beginning that Hashem's shlita is for dor vador, and his malchus is le'olam, is forever. So the question is, why are the expressions reversed? Okay, one more time. Over here, it says that Hashem Shlita is Sholtonei Sholtan Olam. Hashem Shlita is forever. So we match the word Shlita with the word Olam, and we match the word Malchusei with Imdor Vodar, forever, for generation to generation. previously, in the very beginning of this parak, somewhere in the beginning of the parak, where Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar what's going to be, or it could be maybe the past parak. And the past parak where he was told when he saw what happened with Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, he saw the miracle how they survived. Maybe that's where it was. Pasuk Lamed Gimel in the previous parak. In the previous parak. Okay, excellent. Okay, in the previous parak, you go back to Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel, thank you very much. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Lamed Gimel. After Nebuchadnezzar witnesses the incredible miracle of the survival of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Perek Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So there he praises Hashem. He sends out a letter. And he says, Hashem signs, also he kama ravervin, v'simho he kama kimo sakifin. And then he says, malchus, say the malchus is malchus olam, v'sholtonei imdor vodor. So notice here, after the miracle of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, he matches malchus with olam, forever, and matches sholtonei, shlita, with the expression generation to generation. Whereas here, after the miracle of surviving this ordeal where he lost his mind, and Hashem healed him, and he was restored, he praises Hashem, he matches the word shlita to the word olam, and the word malchus to dor vodar. So how do we understand the difference? So first we have to understand what is shlita, what is olam, what is malchus, what is dor vodar. So the first we explain, malchus means a king that rules with will. He is elected. He is accepted. There's no rebellion. There's no desire to depose the king. There's no desire to rebel against the king. Ein melech beloyam. Malchus has a connotation. The king rules with the will of the people. The people are pleased. They are proud of their king. They want him to be king. Everything is fine. Shlita is a tyrant. Is a dictator. Someone who rules against the will of his nation. That's a shalat. When it comes to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both. Hashem is the melech and the shalat. Hashem is molei rachamim, molei chesed, molei din and mishpat. Hashem is perfect, hatsur tam and polo, and therefore Hashem rules the world with justice, and everyone is pleased that Hashem is the ruler of the world. Hashem is melech. But even if we rebel, if we sin, if there's fault within us, we are sinners, we rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will rule over us against our will, shalit. Hashem will be the ruler no matter what. Now when it comes to the levels of olam, olam means forever and ever. And dor v'dor means, involves mankind. Dor v'dor represents the idea of teva, of generation to generation. It represents the concept of teva, of nature. Olam represents the idea, there are different approaches to explain this, Olam represents the idea of lamala miderech ha-teva. Yeah.
Dor v'dor can impose years. A dor was 20 years.
Right.
Olam is infinity.
Okay, so what's into infinity and generation to generation? Infinity is, you know, I'm not really sure. I'm getting confused. But no, that's good. But the point I think the Malbim says is that this point here was a higher level. Nebuchadnezzar reached a higher recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu here at this point than he did in the past. In the past, he only was willing to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Malchus, Hashem's power of controlling the world. I think that's what it means. Malchus represents, according to the Malbim, the idea that Hashem rules the world b'derech teva. Hashem rules the world in a natural way. That is olam. That is forever and ever. Hashem created the world ma'aseh bereishis, and the world continues to operate based upon a natural set of rules. Then sholeit means Hashem will rule against our will, meaning Hashem can do miracles l'malo miderech hateva, only dor v'dor. Now, dar v'dar has a connotation, limit, like you said, limited. Not forever. Once in a while. Here and there. It's just a nuance that only can be appreciated when you contrast it against something else. So when we say dar v'dar in contrast to la'olam, we mean in a limited sense. A little bit here, a little bit there, not constant. Olam means constant, from the beginning to the very, very end. Now, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu rule the world? So the way Hashem rules the world is 99% of the time, the world is being run autopilot. Teva, nature, the sun rises, the sun sets, the moon is renewed, it gets cold, it gets hot, there are seasons. Everything in the world runs in cycles. Teva. The world is on autopilot. That's how the world has been set up from day one to the end of time. So Hashem is Melech. Melech means Hashem is Teva. He put into this world the Koyach of Teva. And that goes on Le'olam. But every once in a while, Hashem shows us who's the boss. Hashem does miracles. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf. And there is Shlita. Hashem does things to show against our will and against the will of nature things which are limala miderech hateva, above and beyond the rules of nature, but that's limited. That only happens once in a while, only l'dar v'dar. So Nebuchadnezzar came to this realization at the time when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah was spared, because how often does it happen that you throw a person into a furnace and they come out alive? It does not happen very often. This is something which is unusual. So I recognize now that Hashem, He created the world, my Sibereshis, from beginning to end, and the world has a basic set of rules. But every once in a while, Hashem shows that He's the Shalit l'dar v'dar. Here, Nebuchadnezzar came to a higher level. He reversed it. He said that Hashem is Melech l'dar v'dar. Hashem controls the world. There's a teva. Is l'dar v'dar. But the main point is that he recognized that Hashem does miracles continuously. And the miracles are not necessarily miracles that have to be done l'mal miderech hateva. In teva itself, there is an hashgacha pratis which cannot be explained other than to say that what's happening is nothing more than a nes. It's not something that you can see. In other words, it's not something which you see every single the miracles that you see. So the kivshon aleishon chananim shav azar were thrown to kivshon aleishon, nothing happened to them. That's one type of miracle. But even in teva, in Hashkocha Pratis, how things just happen to work out, people meet up and things happen in this fashion and that way, that is nothing less than miraculous. So this is a higher Madreka. He's coming to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shlita, which is an expression which means Nisim is Le'olam, is continuous. Hashem's involvement with Teva and with Hashkocha is done continuously. So here he's purposely reversing the expressions to show that it's not like I thought originally, like the Baruch Hu just created the world and let the world run on autopilot, and every once in a while he intervenes and does something very, very great. I now come to recognize that the Baruch Hu Shlita, his involvement in this world, in world affairs, is la'olam, is happening every single moment. It may not be every single moment that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do things that are nisim l'malam derech hateva, but the nisim that are being done b'soich hateva, like the Purim story, basically the Purim story where everything, all of the coincidences, all of the events happen to work out according to Kadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, that I recognize is taking place on a constant basis, and that is why here Nebuchadnezzar is reversing the expressions. It's a higher recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is how the Malbim explains, the basic gist of how the Malbim explains the difference between Nebuchadnezzar's recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu after the miracle of being healed, relative to the recognition of the miracle of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Okay. Let's now go back to the Pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Beis. The whole Dorei, so here he begins to say the whole Dorei Ara Now he goes on to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of the people who live on this earth, Kilo Chashivin, they have no value to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, they're nothing. Man is a nothing k'neged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uchemitzbiyei Ovid Bechel Shemayim. Mitzbiyei means his will. Hashem can do whatever he wants. Ovid, he does Bechel Shemayim in the heavenly sphere. Chel means the army. Here means among the host of angels in heaven. And v'dorei ara, and Hashem does what He wants among those who live among the earth. V'lo isai, there is no one di yimache bidei that can protest. Hashem does whatever He wants in heaven. Hashem does whatever He wishes in this earth, and there is no one that can protest against Hashem's will. The yemalei, and they can say to Hashem, mo avadit, what are you doing? No one can say to Hashem, no one would dare say to Hashem, what are you doing? Now there's a medrash. So let's read this pasuk one more time, because there's a very powerful, I want to clarify these words. One more time. Pasuk Lamed Beis. V'chol doirei ara kilo chashivin. The entire world, all of the world, they're nothing against Hashem. The whole world is zero. Uchem mitzbiyei avei b'chel shmein, his will he does in the heavenly hosts. V'doirei ara. And his will is exercised among those living on the earth. No one can protest. So the Medrash says, how can you possibly say that the whole world is nothing k'neged Hashem? What about all the tzaddikim? Let me read you the words of the Medrash. Yalkut Shmoini. V'chi'ef shaloi markein, can Nebuchadnezzar really say that everyone on this earth is nothing? What about Avraham, Yitzchak, V'yakov, Einim Chashuvim? That Avraham and Yitzchak don't matter. It's Avraham and Yitzchak, Yaakov, they're not chashuv, they're not important. Can you really say, can the Nebuchadnezzar really say, and this will be recorded for all posterity, that all the creatures of this world are zero, zilch? Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov are not nothing. V'chol ha-tzadikim einam v'chashuvim. The Yoksev says in the Pasuk, Moshel v'odam tzadik, Moshel yiras elukim. There's a Pasuk which indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the rulers of this world, tzadikim, they have authority. HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants them authority in this world, and they're not nothing. They are in the status of leaders. Ella, the answer is, Elu doros ha-rishonis, dor enesh, dor ha-mabul, dor ha-floga, sheheim einam v'chashuvim, so einach nam v'yafas, when Nebuchadnezzar is making the statement, he's not making the statement reference to the entire history of the world. This statement is only made a reference to the early generations, the first three generations of this world, the Dor Enosh, the Dor Hamabel, and the Dor Haflaga. Those generations were nothing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because nothing came of them. All the world first became of value with Avraham Avinu of this week's parasha, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham lech lecha. But the previous generations of the world, they are nothing to Kadosh Baruch Hu because they did not accomplish anything. Okay, let's go back to Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Beis Zimna, at that time, Mandi'i Yisuv Alai. So Nebuchadnezzar is speaking. At that point in time, my knowledge, my intellect returned. Mandi'i means intellect. Yisuv Alai was settled, returned to me. V'likar Malchusei Hadrin. Now this is very interesting. And the honor of my Malchus returned. He was restored to his Malchus. He came back. Evel Meroidach. They all thought he would never come back. But he came back. He came back to Bavel, and his son gave the Malchus back to his father. V'likar Malchusei Hadri, and the honor of my Malchus was restored. V'zivi, and my splendor. V'zivi means my hodar. My splendor was Yisuv Alai, was returned to me. V'li, and to me, ha dovrai, v'rav rivonai yivaon, and to me, my it means my counsel. They came, Yivon means it was sought. People came to ask me advice. That's the role of a king. A king is a person people come to with needs. We have requests. We need something. We need solutions to our problems. You come to the king. So to show that he was a real king and not just a figurehead, not only was the honor of his malchus restored, not only was the splendor restored, but to me hadovri v'rav rivonai yivaun. These words mean my advice. Rav Rivonai Hadavra means lashon of dibur, my words. My words of advice, the Rav Rivonai and my greatness, my great talents, Yivu'un, were sought, were in need to this world. The Al Malchusei Hoskinas, and my Malchus was once again reestablished. Urivuna, this is something which is very interesting. Urivu Yatira Hoisafasli. Urivu means greatness. Urivu Yatira means more. Hoisafasli was added to me. That my Malchus was greater now than it was before my tragedy, before my hardship, my difficulty in life when I lost my mind. And that's very interesting thing, because you have this by Eev also. Eev, when he suffered very greatly, after he suffered, what happened? Hashem gave, after he lost his children, Hashem gave him afterwards more than he had originally. So here is telling us saying that after I gained my intellect, my malchus was restored, my malchus, my new malchus was greater than my original malchus. Pasuk Lamedalid, Ke'an then, now this is a very powerful pasuk, Ke'an then, Ano Nebuchadnezzar, Mishabachu, Merimim, Umahadar, Lemelech Shmai, at that point in time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, after everything was restored, my malchus, my splendor, my advice was sought out, and my honor was greater than it was before. I praised Hashem. Mishabach umreimeim umahadar lemelech Shemaya. Three different expressions. Shabach umreimeim, to praise and to exalt, umahadar and to ascribe greatness. Lemelech Shemaya takadosh baruch hu. Dichol, now what did I say? Dichol ma'avodohi kishot. All of his deeds are emes. This is the ultimate praise you can give HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hatsur Pomim Paolo, Kichol Devarav Mishpat. That everything that Hashem does is Emes. Kol Ma'avodohi, all of his deeds are Kishot. The Or Chosei and his ways, Din, are just. V'di Mahalchim Begavei, and those that walk in Hashem's world, I'm sorry, because they, those that walk with arrogance, that he learned the lesson. This is a powerful pasuk. Nebuchadnezzar over here is telling us that he learned the lesson of his downfall. Vidi and those people, mahalchin, that walk in this world, bigeva, with arrogance, yachil lehashpala, Hashem has the ability to humble. Mashpil Geim, we say in davening every single day before we begin Shemona Esrei, Hashem is Mashpil Geim. He humbles the arrogant. Nebuchadnezzar, his final praise to Hashem here is, I recognize that Hashem has the ability to humble the arrogant. And he was saying this about himself, because all of this started off with saying that he is the ruler of the world. He built Babel, he conquered the world, he conquered Yerushalayim, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he exiled the Jewish people, and he is on top of the world, and there's no one that can come to him. And even when he witnessed the miracle of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that did not make enough of a dent in his arrogance to recognize that Hashem is the only Melech. Now, after he lost his mind, and Hashem restored his mind, healed him, and gave back, he made this acknowledgement that Hashem's deeds are emes, his ways are just, and those that walk in this world with gaiva, well, Hashem has the ability to humble. Now, there are two midrashim I want to point out. First of all, what does it mean here in the previous pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made his malchus greater than it was before he lost his mind? So this is a famous medrash. Amar Yehuda, Amar Yirmiyah, Abarab, Malamit, Sherachav, Alari, Zohar. He had control over animals. He would ride, not on a horse, but he would ride on lions, on a male lion, the Koshar Tanin Berosho, and he tied a serpent on the head, on his head, which means that he ruled over the animals. The Kaima Shnemar Vagames Chayas Hasodim Asati Lo La'avdo. We learned this before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him power over the animals. So here it's this very important medrash telling us that this Shalita that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Nebuchadnezzar that he would rule over the animals, even over the animals, was in the second version of his Malchus. In his first round as Melech, before the accident, before this incident where he lost his intellect, he did not rule over the animals. He only ruled over man. When he, then after after he lost his mind, and then Hashem restored his intellect, and his malchus was restored. He was granted a second degree of authority in this world, not only over man, but even over animals. And that's what Pasuk of Yirmiyahu means, Revu Yatiru Hu Safat Li. Extra greatness was granted to me. We don't understand what this means, but he was the melech over the animals. There's no king today that has control over the animals. If you go talk to an animal, they'll just laugh. Even the king of the world, even if the president of the United States will go tell an animal what to do, the animal is going to look at the person like, you're crazy, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no respect for a human being. But Nebuchadnezzar did indeed have this respect. Okay, now one more medrash. He would ride on a lion. It's an expression which means that he had shlita over animals, and he took a snake, a serpent, he tied it around his head. Now, the next is a very important, I'll read the entire medrash, a little bit long, but I'll go through it very quick. It's very important. Medrash described over here that it's praise. He gave shalach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate praise. Basically, he said to Hashem, Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo, Kichol Derach of Mishpat, Hashem's ways are just. And then he added, Hashem has the power to humble the arrogant. Let me read you the medrash. Mo ano oisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Acha Kol Hashem HaKazeh. What did Hashem answer after this praise? Rabbi Brechia, Kol Masha Perash Tav B'Sefer Tehillim, Kol Oisa Rasha B'Pasek Echad. It's incredible what the medrash says. That you can summarize the entire Sefer Tehillim in the Pasek from the Nebuchadnezzar. David HaMelech wrote 150 kapitlach, or 147, different ways to calculate the Mizmarim, 147 chapters. It's a long Sefer Tehillim. You can take the entire Sefer Tehillim, you can summarize it in this one Pasek of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wrote a synopsis, and that synopsis is that is his expressions are di kol ma'avodohi keshot, all of your deeds are emes, v'orchosei din, and your ways are just, v'di mahalchin b'geiva yechil l'hashpala. That is the perfect summary of the entire Sefer Tehillim. Kol ma'asha perash tov b'sefer Tehillim kol oisei rosh pasuk echad. Ano Nebuchadnezzar mishabach merom mahadel lemelech shmaya di kol ma'avodohi keshot v'chein at moitzi b'moshe rabban shal levim mom b'soif kiluso. Moshe also summarized the entire Sefer Tehillim with what pasuk? I just told you a few times. Hatsur, the rock, Hashem was called the rock. Tamim polo, his deeds are perfect. Why did Moshe have to say this pasuk? No one should say that Moshe had complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not being allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. Same idea. This goes on, the Midrash elaborates. Now, the point I want to make over here is Hashem Emes Umechaye. Shmuel said Hashem takes away life and gives life. The Oisrash Omar, the Dima Halchin Begevo Yochila Hashpola. Just like we have in Shmuel, Chana said that Hashem has the ability to bring about death. Hashem Emes Umechaye. The theme of Emes Umechaye is found in what Nebuchadnezzar said. Dima Halchin Begevo. Those who walk with arrogance, Hashem has the ability to humble. Now, Amalach the Shparuchu, Esmol Amarto. So here's the point I really want to make. Hashem says to Nebuchadnezzar, look at you, Nebuchadnezzar. You've given me the ultimate praise. You have summarized the entire Sefer Tehillim. You have summarized the expression of Chanos Tefillah. Chanos Tefillah is also a very powerful tefillah, which is important in its own right. We lay it on Rosh Hashanah. You've summarized both of those tefillos. But, you know, not so long ago you said, you made another statement. You said, "Umanhu elo di yeshes vin choin min yodai." When I threatened to throw Hananya, Mishael, Azari into the fire, I told them, "You better bow down to me. You better bow down to my statue, because if you don't bow down, I'm going to kill you. And there's no god in the world that will be able to save you." Umandi, manhu elo di yeshes vin choin min yodai. And now, v'yachshav ato oimer, now, look what you're giving me the greatest praise. Al oimer kilusin shvachos. Eini chofetz b'cha v'loi b'kiluscha. I don't want you, Nebuchadnezzar, and I don't need your praise. Ulumino l'kalseini yishol shenemar amzu yotzarti li tilosi yistaper. In other words, you can't have it all. his tshuva was insincere. Even though it appears that this is a beautiful expression of praise, but too little, too late. If a person was an extremely wicked person, and he says, denies the existence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then he just, at one point in time, he gets a glimpse into Hashem's greatness, and he acknowledges Hashem's greatness, it's not going to help you unless you do tshuva. We don't find Nebuchadnezzar doing tshuva. This is a very powerful idea this Medrash is bringing us, Medrash Tehillah. You find there's something called tshuva, and there's something called acknowledgement. Nebuchadnezzar denied the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he mocked Hashem, and now here he came to acknowledge, wow, I acknowledge there is Ribbono Shel Olam. So now you've acknowledged. So most people will say, you acknowledge. That is a form of tshuva. That's not tshuva. Where is the regret, the charata, and the affliction, and saying you're sorry for what you've done in the past? Now the person has been presented with the emes. I see you're right. I see what you've done. You've taken away my mind. You've returned me. You've shown me that you exist. Okay, and therefore, Hatsur Tamim Pa'olok Yichol Derachav Mishpat. But what about the past? You've done terrible things. You've exiled Klal, you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, you denied Hashem's existence, you mechalal Shem Shemayim throughout the entire world. What was, was. It's not going to help him. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejects this praise because there is no teshuvah. I think many times in our own lives we fool ourselves. We think in life we come to a realization that later in our life we now see things differently. We have different experiences, and we realize that years ago our outlook was not the way it should have been. So what? It's not gonna help. If mistakes were made in the past, there has to be a process of tshuva, which means charata, slicha, tfila. If it involves other people, you have to say sorry to them and appease them, advise them, and so on and so forth. That is a very important lesson to take out the end of this last parak, this parak of parak Dalet, which concludes an episode in life of Nebuchadnezzar and of Daniel's prediction with the tree. And now Parakeh begins an entirely new parsha of Belshazzar and the handwriting on the wall, which we'll pick up tomorrow. Exactly. It's a recognition. It's a recognition.
Interesting thing here that there's no Mitzudas Tzion from Chaf Beis to Lamed Gimel.
Because all the words already appear in the beginning of the first three parakim. The Mitzudas Tzion doesn't repeat himself. Now he does, but generally, once he tells you what the word means,
and then
that's
Lamed
it.
Gimel, he appears again.
Well, that's because the word, there are new words. Most of the words already have appeared in the beginning of the Sefer, so there's no need to repeat those words. Okay, let's learn some Mishnah Berurah.